So we will stop writing now. And now the guidelines for sharing. Sharing will last until the end of the meeting. As you share your experience and strength in OA, please also share your hope. Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. We ask everyone to respect our group conscience. We will now open the meeting for sharing. So if you'd like to share, please use the prompt under reactions to raise your hand. And if you don't want to be recorded, please let me know so we will stop the recording. And when you hear the moderator say time, please finish your thought and we will go until 10:55. Okay, let me put it on gallery so I can see. Mary S., you are up.
Thank you, Roberta. Hi, everybody. It's Mary. I'd like to thank everyone for doing service. Roberta and Lynette, thank you for that share. I really did enjoy reflecting on both of these topics. Many years ago, I got sober in AA at 24 years old. And in order to grow my emotional sobriety at that point, I really needed to detach from my parents, and not with love. I detached with anger because that's where I was at. And when I thought of that, this is about forgiveness. And as I started to grow in my program, even though I didn't get the kind of love that I craved from my parents, because I was a very aware little girl, very sensitive, as time went on, I realized they did the best they could. And I know my parents love me and I love them. So I came to a point of forgiveness and accepting them as they are. I am still blessed to have my parents. They're turning 90 and 94 in August. Definitely need to visit them. You know, I have that urge again. I got to go see my mom, which I like to go up every 4 months. But that was something that really shifted my perspective. Now, with the emotional dependency and discernment, what the umbrella that I went under was with my husband. You know, he was supposed to make me happy. He was supposed to take care of me. He was supposed to fix everything in my life. Well, that's not the truth. You know, as I morphed and changed and had the psychic change, that validation that I was looking for, or approval or need to fix, went from the outside to the internal. You know, it is me, you know, and my higher power that have guided me to a point where I'm not looking outside of myself. And that includes so many things, material things, a job, my husband. You know, I mean, the best thing that ever happened is we got divorced for 10 years and I was alone. And I really learned to become empowered on my own as a woman financially and did not depend on someone else. But it's the emotional component that really changed to, you know, to come here, to be with you, to be with my friends, to listen to these words that are like nuggets of wisdom. And with that, I'd like to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, Veronica.
Hi, thanks, Roberta. I appreciate you being here. I also appreciate very much, Lynette, your share today. You know, this is the crux of how I feel that I am growing and developing in this program. Because I have to look at those variables that have to do with how I'm feeling, you know, how I'm expressing it, how it's working in my life with my relationships. I was looking at emotional discernment through the lens of spirit, because I believe that looking through the lens of spirit gave me a broader perspective. So what that means for me is I take a pause. You know, there's, I can now feel the rumblings when I'm feeling discontent, or I'm feeling that, you know, a feeling that I don't like something, and I recognize it for the most part. And I feel that that allows me to see not only the whole picture, but I'm owning my feeling, because it's okay for me to own the feeling. I have to recognize it. If I don't recognize it and I just gloss over, well, that's part of the spiritual bypassing. And, you know, that never got me anywhere. That never got me anywhere. So being able to have that broader perspective, own my feeling, and let's see a broader picture, then I can move into forgiveness. Because it may not happen the first time that I do a 10 step. It may not happen the second time. But eventually, I will get to a point where I'm getting to a core of something. And it may be sooner than that or later. But eventually, if I keep hanging in there long enough, it will come through. And then I can turn that over. I can say, all right, this is what was happening with that person. It doesn't mean that it is right. It doesn't mean that it didn't harm me. But what it does mean is that, first of all, they're human. I can forgive them, for they know not better. And I can just then release it and move on. And that takes a lot of time for some things, because I feel that some of my harms are bigger than others for me. And I've had to work on them. I've worked on them for years. I've been in program for a long, long time, but not in recovery until the past maybe 3 years, a little under 3 years. And you know, it takes effort. And this, to me, going into emotional sobriety, this is where I want to be, because this is for me where the growth comes. This is where my spirituality grows. And you know, I'm loving it. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jennifer.
Hi there. I'm going to turn my camera off and look at my notes, but thank you, Lynette, so much. And I really related to a lot. And I took a lot of notes when you shared, and that accepting yourself exactly as you are, and that's been a big cornerstone to my recovery. It's like it's a starting point. It's like taking a deep breath, and you know, with and like loving myself. And then you talked about perfectionism as bondage, and that perfectionism has been a big part of my thing too. I'm focusing on forgiveness, but just it's bondage, and I grew up with it, and there's criticism that goes along with it, and it's like a constant flogging where and you know, of course, passed it on to my kids. But it's constant where, you know, I can't relax, or if I doing something that feels like relaxation, I have to feel guilty about it. It's like so messed up. But I am growing on that. And even yesterday, I've been trying to do a lot of stuff on my house before I list it for sale. And it was a beautiful day yesterday in our last one before it, you know, goes back to the rain here in Washington, where I live. And I just said, I'm just going to let myself go and lay in the sun. And it was felt so good to just smell the grass and to lay there with my kitty. And she, you know, because cats know how to relax. They know how to find the sun and, you know, enjoy it. And it was probably only like a half an hour, but it filled me up so much. And then this morning I did that stuff, and I did it happily because I gave myself time to just feel good and enjoy life. And I don't know how much more time I have, but forgiveness of myself and also of yeah, my parents, with my higher powers help, because that was a huge thing too. And my higher power just started reminding me of all the things that my parents did for me, all the little things that my mom did, like, you know, buy me the books or a houseplant that I wanted or all these little things, you know. And she was sick too. She was dealing with, you know, my dad's addiction, and my dad did a lot of cheating and stuff. And my dad is very sick too, but he,
That's
his
time, Jennifer.
Okay. But everyone, yeah, everyone's has their own struggles, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next up is Diane.
There, I'm Diane G, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Canada. And Lynette, thank you for your beautiful share. And when I came in the program 3 years ago, I was 60 and my mom was 88. And if I look at it, I started going for counseling when I was 28. And it was always, I'd spend the hour complaining about my mom. And I had such resentment for her, and it never got resolved till I came in the OA program. And it's been a three-year process, but I'm finally able to see, and just writing today, I'm just going to read what I wrote. Like, my mom's 91 now, and I'm 63, but my mom trained me to be emotionally dependent on her. It was my job to make her happy. My mom expects perfectionism from me. She loves me very much, but conditionally. My no means yes to her. And she always says, you don't really mean that. And my mom doesn't honor my boundaries. And now what it's changed in the program is I've learned to forgive her and think what a horrific upbringing she must have been raised on for her to be like that. And so she hasn't changed. She still has all those expectations, but I've changed. And when I walk into her nursing home, it's like, God, please walk before me, because otherwise I can't do it. So I'm just so grateful for this program, grateful for meeting people like you who we can talk about this. And but it's all about having that higher power who can bring us through anything. And on that, I'd like to pass.
Thank you very much, Diane. Okay, Judith, you're up.
Hi, everyone. My name is Judith from Maryland. And Roberta, thank you. Lynette, I'm not sure if you and I have talked before, but there's her picture. Anyway, thank you for your share. I came in a teeny bit late. This meeting is so efficient in terms of timing, which is beautiful. Emotional sobriety, in whatever form I use, the sobriety, maturity, and Bill's letter definitely lives close in my heart, because my feelings are just feelings. They've always been just feelings. It's what I do with the feelings that either brings me into joy or takes me down into the dumps. And I do a lot of self-evaluating. I don't really consider myself a perfectionist. More of, oh, I can do the impossible, or I have these real ideals that I want to have met yesterday, and they're not coming through true. So Judith, bad Judith, she didn't do it. So self-forgiveness is self-forgiveness, self-love. That's what God provides to me as my teacher, director, employer, and great parent. And I have a role model right here with me to help me walk the walk that I really want to walk. And when you talked about post-trauma and past trauma, I don't know exactly the words, but I took it, and post-healing, that reminds me of calamity and serenity embraced around God. Everything for me is God. And as long as I stay in the here and now with God, little by little, because if I do it in leaps and bounds, I'm going to have blind spots. But little by little, my emotional strength is going to help catapult me continually into the fourth dimension. And my feelings are just feelings. I don't want to do anything with them but say, oh, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. And the last thing I'll say, I'm learning a lot of vocabulary in OA. I have to look up so many words. Discernment, a particularly perceptive way of seeing things. That's gorgeous. If I have discernment, then I'm going to look at so many different angles and sides that I'm going to stay in neutrality and let God lead me to what's next. Thank you for letting me share and being here, everyone.
Thank you, Judith. Robin?
Hi there. I didn't realize I was next on the screen. I'm Robin, recovered compulsive overeater. So I want to apologize for coming on late. I did not get to hear your talk. I've never been to this meeting before and I completely spaced out. I said I wanted to go today and then I saw it was 10 after 1. So anyway, I wrote on emotional discernment and forgiveness a little bit. I said, wow, when I do my prayer and meditation in the mornings, I look over my character defects from step 6 and ask that they be removed. I can throughout the day recognize them as they appear and ask that God please take them. I surrender them to God so I can be what God would want me to be. The result of that action is actually self-acceptance and forgiveness. So I was never an action taker, never. And I was the kind of person who would sit and pray, but do nothing and wait for something to fall on me to give me an answer. And, you know, I have heard for years now, I've been here for 4 years in the program. It's an action program, it's an action program, it's an action program. And so I started to take action. And one of the things that brings discernment into my life is doing outreach calls. Because when I connect with another fellow, God comes into that relationship. There is something pretty amazing about it for me. And then I'm able to get my feet moving and put my thinking sometimes in a drawer, you know, where it belongs. And yesterday, I have to say, it was kind of funny. I was in Target. My husband had said, could you try to find something for a one-year-old baby? Because a friend of his, who is his age, actually married a younger woman, and she had a baby, and now the baby's a year old. Boy, I haven't shopped for a baby in, you know, since my daughter was a baby. And I'm looking all around, and I'm getting very frustrated, because anything, you know, like puzzles or whatever would have been a lot of money in postage. And I stopped and I said, I'm making an outreach call. And I called right in the middle of Target because I realized I got to bring God into this mix.
That's 3 minutes.
Thank you. And I got relieved of my angst and I decided to go home because couldn't find anything. So it was just a great experience for me to pick the phone up in the middle of Target. Anyway, thank you very much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Robin. Nancy, you are up.
Oh, thank you so much. So nice to be here. And thank you so much, Lynette, for your wonderful talk. And, you know, the subject about discernment, where that stands in our life, it's just a great subject, because when I think about this program, it's the only place in my world where you're supposed to think about your part in things. You know, I went through my life, and many of you have heard my story, a very tough situation, losing my mother when I was 9, and then my father married became my stepmother, and she just hated me. So I had rough teenage years, and then she died of cancer as well. So I had a lot of trauma back then, but I always felt sorry for myself. I kind of felt, without ever verbalizing it to myself, I always thought, you poor kid, look what you've been through. That's how I really felt on a deep level, felt sorry for myself. And I really did try my best in life. I was a good student, got married, wonderful guy, great children. But I always felt like you poor kid. I felt sorry for myself. And then I got into OA. And it's telling us on page 58 in the big book, it says, we have to grasp and develop a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. That is absolutely required for success in this program. How do you develop a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty? I think that is the discernment, that we learn to be discerning about our own part in things. I set aside the whole being a victim and you poor kid, and I try to have the honesty, call it rigorous honesty. And we do this mostly through the 10th step. We have the inventory in step 4. We admit the inventory in step 4 to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. But on a daily basis for the rest of our life, we are continuing to look for our own part in things, which doesn't come naturally to me. What comes naturally to me is feeling sorry for myself. And that goes very deep. That's natural to my whole emotional and psychological process, self-pity. And so now I have to learn a new way of life where it has rigorous honesty. Where is my part in it? What did I do, as the big book says, to get the ball rolling?
That's and time, Nancy.
With that, I pass and I thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Alex.
Hi, everyone. Alex Kapulsa-Peter. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks, Roberta. And thank you, Lynette, for your share. I like what you said about reframing how you see things. I wrote, my superpower helps me reframe how I look at things. My scared inner child used to be in charge of my emotional life, but she sees everything through her trauma. I still get triggered sometimes and have that knee-jerk reaction of going into fear and that skewed outlook. I make faulty conclusions. For example, something happens and I make it mean X, usually something bad about myself. For example, if a friend doesn't respond to a call or a text, my little girl says, my friend doesn't care about me and never wants again. It's extreme. And that attitude of all or nothing and catastrophizing. My higher power helps me look at the evidence, calms me down. Well, let's look at the evidence in a very practical way. My friend not responding doesn't mean she doesn't care. It just means she didn't respond in this particular instance, this one time, for whatever reason. And it may have nothing to do with me. Maybe she's busy or how she's been kind and supportive. And we've had many, many good interactions. My higher power helps with my higher power's help, I have fewer of those extreme highs and lows based on other people's behavior. I can better see reality and see my inner child's view isn't the truth. Her her approach is to panic. Everything's terrible. And with my higher power, it's just life on life's terms. I can be more accepting of reality, even if it's really challenging. I'm less dependent on other things and rely more on my higher power. And that constant unconditional love and support helps me feel safe and protected. And I'm grateful to see progress and have more emotional balance. Where I used to feel like any little thing could feel like the end of the world. Just I'd be totally overwhelmed and feel like I couldn't cope. And now I have more equanimity and I'm not so easily thrown off balance because I have my higher power to hold on to. And no, there's nothing I can't face without my higher power's help. I can have peace and security, whatever's going around me, even if it's chaos or whatever other people do or say. Okay, thank you. It's such a transformation, my thinking. I'm really grateful. It's like having a new pair of glasses. No big deals with my higher power. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Alex. We still have some more time for sharing. Anne?
Thank you, Roberta. Thank you, everyone who does service and everyone for being here. And Lynette, thank you especially for you for speaking. I heard maybe 15 seconds, and I'm sorry about that, but I was going through an emotional episode. And I was saying to myself, okay, Anne, yeah, you want to be quiet, but where are your friends? And I told my new sponsee I'd be here too today, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here because I knew my friends would be here. And what an appropriate topic, because I was saying, making a joke, Dr. Jung, if you want to know about emotional disturbance, you should come to our meeting because Anne is here and I feel like I'm in a blender and I know God is working on me. I know that. I know that because I've never really felt like this, but I heard so much that I'm happy again. I'm smiling. You know, I heard what was my part. You know, I work where, Anne? Oh, I'm a tutor, and my employer wants me to not do their homework, help them with their homework and do something to get him data. But I'm working with kids and they want to do their homework. And so I try to appease myself and get their homework done and ask them would they like to read on the computer with me. And that seems to be working, but I get into the old Anne, the fucking reading teacher, excuse my language. Here's a kid in kindergarten, can't decode. You know how to get them to decode. And I get into this mode, controlling, and then I neglect another kid yesterday. And so, who has no homework? And oh my gosh. And other things. And what I'm learning is what's my part and what is your part? Your part is fear. I fear that I'm not doing a good enough job for my employer who now wants to have where I tutor, do my timesheets. And I go, well, what's wrong with me? I've been doing timesheets all my life. And I'm so grateful that I could be, and also to speak to where I tutor. I want to see the eclipse for 10 minutes. I'm an educator. I love science. Do you think? But it's all about speaking up. I was shut down as a kid. I was shut down as a toddler. And it's taken me all these years to speak for myself. And I'm just so grateful for this program for recovery that I have a voice because of the love I feel in this room and of the learning and of the teaching and my big book sponsor. I'm so grateful for her. And thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Anne. There's another 2 minutes left. Would anybody like it?
Hi, my name is Tony, and I cannot put the hand up, so I'm sorry for that. And I just want to thank everyone for such wonderful sharing. what came to me is that recently I had gone through some things with a family member, and I have been in OA for many, many years. My abstinent number of years is 9, which is not anywhere near the years I've been in OA. But over time, I have had to, my higher power has helped me look at the background of my family and parents. And yes, I wore many hats. I was expected to be a child, a friend, a confidant, maybe a mother in some ways. And I look back, and my higher power helped me look at my family members, especially my mother and father, and see where they were coming from and what their life was like. And when I put myself in their shoes, I saw that maybe I wouldn't have even did any differently. Yes, they did love me. They had certain different ways of showing that love, but I was able to let go of any of the anger and resentment that I had pushed down for years and years with food, which was my drug of choice. And in going through this present issue, I have noticed that I have a certain calmness about myself. I did not go to food, and I feel sane and I feel good. And that to me is a wonderful gift from my higher power. And over all these years, I've gone from a punishing higher power to a loving God. And I keep continue growing my faith. And for me, faith is trust. And I know when I was first, before OA, I had no trust in anyone. I didn't see it because the food always pushed everything down. But today I am so grateful for the OA program and the 12 steps, the fellowship. And I had been on this meeting before and had not stopped. So I'm very grateful to be on it today. And I want to thank everyone. I had one question. I noticed that there was a Tony B for a moderator on April 10th. And my name is Tony B. And I didn't know, am I the moderator? I was never told that. Is there another Tony B?
A different Tony.
Yes, there is.
Isn't that a miracle? There's two of us out there. Thank you, and everyone have a wonderful, truly wonderful day.
Thank you very much. Thank you to everyone who shared, and especially Lynette. You were just wonderful. Thank you so much. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here, please let it stay here. Thank you for allowing me to be your leader today, and thanks to all who did service and shared. After a moment of silence, will those who wish to please join in the OA promise? I put my hand in yours, and together
we can do what we could never do alone.
No longer
is there a sense of hopelessness.
Yes.
No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower.
We are all together now,
reaching out our hands.
For power and strength greater than ours, as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. It works. Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Roberta. Thank you, Lynette.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. We are staying after for a few minutes. I'm sorry, Roberta. Did I interrupt you?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, we're going to stay after for about 15 minutes. If anybody would like to share in a conversation, or you have questions or anything that you would like to maybe comment on today.
Veronica, please. I gave you host and we're still recording. Can you stop the recording?
I can do that. Yeah. Please.